You'd open your Bibles, please, to Numbers 29 tonight. And we'll look at our passage as we work our way through it. So before we begin, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and your people. We pray that you'd bless our time tonight, and we will thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, at this point in the book of Numbers, Israel is on the verge of getting the promised land. She's been numbered, renumbered. Land distribution by tribe has all been set up, how they're going to do that. And things are exciting. And I'm certain that the families in Israel are making relocation plans, as anyone would. I'm certain that some of the people are packing things up, getting ready to go. Probably they're thinking through the topography of the land. If there were maps, and there probably were some very primitive type of maps, some of those families are probably looking at the maps, dreaming about the future. Now along comes God. And you're in the midst of thinking through these things, and God says, now what I want to do is I'd like to go over next year's worship calendar. I want to go over worship daily, weekly, monthly, annually, and especially I want to go over month number 7. Now, you must think, why would God do this? We must ask ourselves that. What is this all about? What is God communicating here? What God's communicating here to Israel and to us is, I'm more important than anything else in your life. God is basically saying, I am more important than anything else that you have in existence. I'm more important than your work. I'm more important than your accomplishments. I'm more important than even your time. And what you need to do, if you want to maintain a right relationship with me and have my blessings, is you need to keep me at the focus of your life all the time. Now, we don't have any more national days of worship like Israel has. We worship God on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, on Sunday. But this text would clearly communicate to those of us in the church age, you better honor that day. And you better take it seriously. Because someone wisely said, do away with worship days and you'll do away with God. And when you do away with God, you're heading to big, big trouble. Now we've just come through, about to end, the month of December. And I would have to say that probably for most of us, December is the most hectic month for all of us. I mean, we're just running around all over the place. It's a joyous month. It's a month filled with a lot of action. For Israel, the first month and the seventh month was the month of a lot of action. And the seventh month is the most festive of all the year. It was action that was focused on having a relationship with God. And what we see when we go down through this chapter is God gives Israel the specific regulations concerning the 3 final national worship days that are to be celebrated in the 7th month that are to include no works, many sacrifices in order that God may bless them. It's pretty obvious when you read through these verses that to have a close relationship with God was not some cheap commitment. To worship the Lord demanded that they take these things seriously and they follow them. You stop work and you focus on God. God says, that's what I want for my people. And he demanded that in these yearly, annual, national sacrifices. Now, there are 3 that I want to draw your attention to tonight. First of all, there's the Feast of Trumpets in verses 1 to 6. And here's what we read. Now, in the 7th month, on the first day of the month, you shall also have a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work. It will be to you a day for blowing trumpets. You shall offer a burnt offering as a soothing aroma to the Lord, 1 bull, 1 ram, and 7 male lambs, 1 year old without defect. Also their grain offering, fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for a bull, 2/10 for the ram, 1/10 for each of the 7 lambs. Offer 1 male goat for a sin offering to make atonement for you, besides the burnt offering of the new moon and its grain offering, and the continual burnt offering and its grain offering, and their drink offerings according to their ordinance for a soothing aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord. Now the Feast of Trumpets was a joyous feast, a joyous gathering of Israel to her land. This feast signaled the beginning of the new civil year, kind of like our 4th of July celebration. And what this sacrifice said was, we're beginning a new year, a new national year. And we're beginning this year again reminding ourselves that we need to keep our focus on our relationship with God. And verse 1 gives the exact day it was to be celebrated, the 7th month of their ecclesiastical year. And the festival began by the blowing of trumpets. The noun for trumpet is shofar. It's a ram's horn, not the silver trumpets. The shofar trumpets were often used to announce Jewish religious services. It used to be years ago, the church used to ring a bell on Sunday, kind of announcing the worship day. In fact, we have a very similar one that this church once had out there in our lobby, almost identical to the one that this church used 100 years ago. When on Sunday, they would ring the bell announcing a worship day. Well, in this case, they would blow the shofar ram's horn. And the first of the three feasts, the Passover, the unleavened bread, and first fruits, were celebrated in the first month. And then you went through this gap for the last three. The trumpets, atonement, and booths, and tabernacles were to be celebrated in the 7th month. So there is a gap of time between the first three and the last three. I don't think that's coincidental. We'll talk about that in just a moment. According to verse 1, the 7th month, which this would be celebrated on, I've listed the months for you in your notes, would be Tishri, which was the month of September and October, according to our calendar. And this was to be the first day of the month. This was a major month to Israel. On this day, it was to be a day off of work. The shofar trumpets were to be blown all over the land, announcing that there was going to be no laborious work done, but our focus was going to be on God. Now, I want to point out something from verse 1. You'll notice it says, you shall do no laborious work. That's repeated again in verse 12. You shall do no laborious work. And it's repeated again in verse 35. You shall do no laborious work. There's a different word that is used in the text in verse 7. In verse 7, there's a different word that says you shall not do any work. So you're talking laborious work versus any work. Now, what's the difference? The difference is this. Laborious work was true hard labor work that was done by humans, like building and construction and those kinds of things. God says, I don't want you doing any intense hard work because I want you to understand you're not in this wonderful state of blessing by your hard labor and hard work. I want you to realize you're here because of my grace. Now, the Jews are scattered all over the world today, but one day the trumpet is going to sound. And that trumpet will sound and signal that the Messiah has come and that God is blessing Israel in the land. And that's what this celebration is ultimately going to be all about. It's what it signals. It signals that the first three are done. Now we're in a gap of time. We're waiting for that trumpet to sound that will set this all up for Israel again. And before that happens, we're going to be raptured. And we who live in the church age, we're waiting for our own trumpet blast. According to Paul in 1 Thessalonians, the trump of God will sound and we'll be caught up in the air to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, according to verse 2, there was to be a burnt offering to the Lord comprised of one bull, one ram, and 7 male lambs without defect. And according to verse 3, there was to be a grain offering, fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for a bull, that's 1.8 gallons, 2/10 for a ram, 1.2 gallons, 1/10 for each of the 7 lambs, 1/2 a gallon. According to verse 5, there was to be a male goat offered for a sin offering to make atonement. This is important to see, and you're going to see it all down through this chapter. Because no matter what the worship service were going to in this context, they were going as sinners, just like we're sinners. And when we go to worship, we're going as sinners. And we need to have that sin cleansed. Of course, our cleansing comes by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But there need to be the acknowledgement that we're sinners. According to verse 6, there was to be a burnt offering of the new moon grain offering, drink offerings that we've already talked about that were given to the Lord. This was a soothing aroma offering to the Lord. You know, in chapters 28 and 29 of Numbers, there are 71 verses. 13 of the verses, as near as I can determine, allude to the sin offering, and 58 refer to a soothing aroma offering. Why? Because God says, that's what I want my people to be. I want my people to be a soothing aroma to me. I want my people in a right relationship with me. And if we want or expect God's blessings in the new year, we need to have lives that are a soothing aroma to the Lord, not some sinful stench. And how do we get in a life that's a soothing aroma to the Lord? Well, by taking in the scriptures and making applications. And when we do that, and God looks at his people, and he sees they're worshiping me with a heart that is really right with me, they're coming to me with the right spirit, then he is, as one writer said, heartened and satisfied, and we become a soothing aroma to the Lord. Now, this Feast of Trumpets festival, I think, is a prophetic picture of a future regathering of the nation Israel. And there is a time gap between the first fruits of the nation and the trumpet blowing that is this particular trumpet festival. You'll remember that there's the Passover, in which the angel of death went through the homes and the blood on the door was covered, and that when the angel saw that, it passed over and saved the people. That was one of the festivals. There was the unleavened bread. That was a festival that occurred a week after the Passover, where they ate no leavened bread for the purpose of basically saying, we're cleaning ourselves up, we're getting sin out. Then there was the Feast of Weeks, 50 days after the first fruits harvest, which would suggest that God is the one who meets the needs. And then you have this gap of time, this gap of time between that and the trumpets. And I think that that is showing us the eschatology of God. There are two parts to the program of God for Israel. The first part, when Christ came the first time, and he offered himself as the Passover, and he is the Passover. And the second time, when he'll blow the trumpets, and there'll be a joyous reunion with the nation Israel again. And I think this particular festival illustrates that. Now that brings us to the second sacrifice, the Day of Atonement. You'll notice in verse 7, then on the 10th day of this seventh month, you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall humble yourselves. You shall not do any work. You shall present a burnt offering to the Lord as a soothing aroma, one bull, one ram, 7 male lambs, 1 year old, having them without defect, and their grain offering, fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for a bull, 2/10 for one ram, 1/10 for each of the 7 lambs, 1 male goat for a sin offering, besides the sin offering of atonement and the continual burnt offering and its grain offering and their drink offering. Now, according to verse 7, on the 10th day of the seventh month, there was to be a holy gathering on the Day of Atonement that would immediately follow the Feast of Trumpets. And on that day, again, no work. No work at all. Especially on this Day of Atonement. Because the way you have your sins atoned for is all of grace. It has nothing to do with works whatsoever. It is all of grace. And it's all by the shed blood. And according to verse 8, there was to be a burnt offering of one bull, one ram, 7 male lambs, 1 year old with no defect. And the business of having animals without blemish, we know flat out does point to Jesus Christ. In fact, all of these sacrifices point to Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter picked up on this very point when he said, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. And according to verses 9 and 10, there was to be a grain offering of fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for a bull, 1.8 gallons, 2/10 for a ram, 1.2 gallons, 1/10 for each of the 7 lambs, 1/2 gallon. There was to be also a male goat for a sin offering. Besides the atonement sin offering, and also there was to be a continual burnt offering, grain offerings, and drink offerings also included. Now, the Day of Atonement was the one day a year in which the high priest could go beyond the veil into the Holy of Holies, and he needed to make a sin offering for himself. Then he could go in there and make a sin offering for the people, and he would confess the sin. And he would actually go into the Holy of Holies in that frame of thinking that this blood that I'm sprinkling in this area is the only reason I have a relationship with God. And that was a critical day that pictured the day when Jesus Christ would die on the cross. Now, all of these sacrifices, no matter how good we think we've been, indicate nobody's good enough for God. Because to be blessed of God, you must have the sin matter resolved, and it can only be resolved by a substitute that sheds blood. Now, the Jews have really butchered this national sacrifice today. The Jews celebrate the Day of Atonement by thinking about their good versus bad deeds in the previous year. So it'd be like you go home tonight and you just sit down in a chair and you think through the life in this last year. And you think through good versus things that were bad, you determine. And the Jew basically says, if your good outweighs the bad, everything's fine. They're missing the whole point of this. God says, I want you to realize on this Day of Atonement that your works or goodness has nothing to do with you having a relationship with me. In fact, this is all of grace. It's all due to the atoning shed blood that covers the sin. That brings us to the third sacrifice, the Feast of Tabernacles. Now you notice in verse 12 we read, then on the 15th day of the seventh month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work, and you shall observe a feast to the Lord for 7 days. You shall present a burnt offering, an offering by fire as a soothing aroma to the Lord, 13 bulls, 2 rams, 14 male lambs, 1 year old, which are without defect, and their grain offering, fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for each of the 13 bulls, 2/10 for each of the 2 rams, 1/10 for each of the 14 lambs, and 1 male goat for a sin offering besides the continual burnt offering, its grain offering, and its drink offering. Then, on the second day, 12 bulls, 2 rams, 14 male lambs, 1 year old without defect, and their grain offering and their drink offerings for the bulls, for the rams, and for the lambs by their number according to the ordinance, and 1 male goat for a sin offering, besides the continual burnt offering and its grain offering and their drink offerings. Then, on the third day, 11 bulls, 2 rams, 14 male lambs, 1 year old without defect, and their grain offering and their drink offerings for the bulls of the rams and for the lambs by their number according to the ordinance, and 1 male goat for the sin offering besides the continual burnt offering and its grain offering and its drink offering. Then, on the fourth day, 10 bulls, 2 rams, 14 male lambs, 1 year old without defect, their grain offering and their drink offerings for the bulls, for the rams and for the lambs by their number according to the ordinance, and 1 male goat for a sin offering beside the continual burnt offering, its grain offering and its drink offering. Then on the fifth day, 9 bulls, 2 rams, 14 male lambs, 1 year old without defect, and their grain offering and their drink offerings for the bulls and for the rams and for the lambs by their number according to the ordinance, and 1 male goat for a sin offering beside the continual burnt offering and its grain offering and its drink offering. Then on the sixth day, 8 bulls, 2 rams, 14 male lambs, 1 year old without defect, and their grain offering and their drink offerings for the bulls, for the rams, for the lambs, by their number according to the ordinance, and 1 male goat for a sin offering, besides the continual burnt offering, its grain offering, and its drink offerings. Then on the seventh day, 7 bulls, 2 rams, 14 male lambs, 1 year old without defect, and their grain offering and their drink offerings for the bulls, for the rams, and for the lambs, by their number according to the ordinance, and 1 male goat for a sin offering besides the continual burnt offering of its grain offering and drink offering. On the eighth day, you shall have a solemn assembly. You shall do no laborious work, but you'll present a burnt offering and aroma by fire as to the soothing aroma to the Lord, one bull, one ram, seven male lambs, 1 year old without defect, their grain offering and their drink offerings for the bull, for the ram and for the lambs by their number according to the ordinance, and one male goat for a sin offering besides the continual burnt offering and its grain offering and its drink offering. You shall present these to the Lord at your appointed times besides your votive offerings and your freewill offerings. For your burnt offerings and for your grain offerings and for your drink offerings and your peace offerings, Moses spoke to the sons of Israel in accordance with all that the Lord had commanded Moses. Now, on the 15th day of the same month, 5 days after the Atonement Festival, there's this Feast of Tabernacles, which was probably the happiest, joyous time. It was a harvest festival, and the people looked forward to that. And it was a time when this feast was looking forward to God again blessing the nation the next year, God fulfilling kingdom promises made to Israel. It stressed that no work was to be done, and there was to be a celebration for 7 days, and there was to be a burnt offering. And I want you to notice the reduction in the number of the bull sacrifices. First of all, there was to be 13 bulls, 2 rams, 14 male lambs, 1 year old without defect. And with that, you were to have 1.8 gallons of fine flour mixed with oil, 1.2 gallons for each of the rams, and 1/2 gallon for each of the 14 lambs of the fine flour mixed with oil. There was also to be an offering of 1 male goat for a sin offering besides the other regular offerings. On the second day, the number drops from 13 to 12 bulls. And then you have very similar data there. 2 rams, 14 male lambs without defect. You've got the grain offering, the drink offerings. On the third day, the same sacrifice formula, only now the number drops to 11 bulls. On the fourth day, the number of bulls sacrificed drops to 10. On the fifth day, the number of bulls sacrificed drops to 9. On the sixth day, the number drops to 8. On the seventh day, the number drops to 7. And on the eighth day, there's this solemn regathering with no work done. And the eighth day, there was to be 1 bull, 1 ram, 7 male lambs, plus other offerings. Now, the logical question to ask is, why was there this reduction with the number of bulls offered? And here's your answer. The ability to live with God was shown to Israel as being narrowed down to one sacrifice. What God was basically showing this nation is, this is all heading to one sacrifice that's going to get you into a relationship with me and give you my blessings in this land. And the ability for you to enjoy my blessings is going to boil down to one key sacrifice that at that point hadn't come yet. But that key sacrifice will be none other than Jesus Christ. Every one of these offerings point directly to him. These offerings were to be presented to the Lord at their appointed times. And this doesn't include the other offerings, like the votive offerings, the freewill offerings, the burnt offerings, the grain offerings, the drink offerings. This was just given to the Lord over and above this. Now, some have suggested that this passage indicates that the rapture of the church is going to occur in September or October. And there have been those guys who say they figured it out. And they base their conclusions on taking this numbers calculation and saying that this pretty much tells us that God's going to kick off that program with Israel one day in the month of September or October. So their conclusion is that the church is going to be raptured in September or October. But I remind us all that nobody knows the day or the hour. It's foolish to set dates. And furthermore, as far as we're concerned, Christ nailed that whole thing to the law. We're to look forward to him coming even tonight, which is the right way to live our lives. Now, there are some lessons we want to leave you with from this text tonight. First of all, it's pretty clear that the one sacrifice that makes it possible for us to have a relationship with God is Jesus Christ. It's his relationship, or our relationship with him, that makes us a soothing aroma to the Lord. These animal sacrifices could only cover sin, couldn't take it away. He's the one who takes it away. Secondly, we're to maintain right fellowship with Jesus Christ, and when we do that, our lives will be a soothing aroma to the Lord at all times. Let's make that our New Year's resolution, if you're going to have one. I'm going to try to apply more of the scriptures. As we go through these books of the Bible and the Holy Spirit ministers to my mind and heart, I'm going to do my best to respond to that conviction. And I'm going to blossom this year as never before. Thirdly, Israel needed the priest in order to have a relationship with God. In our case, Jesus Christ is our high priest. And he's the one who gives us a tremendous relationship with the Lord to the point that we can go directly to his throne and talk things over right with him. Fourthly, these offerings were not cheap. These were costly to those that were bringing them. And I think it must thrill the heart of God when he sees his people who love him bringing their offerings to him. And finally, it's pretty obvious from these chapters of 28 and 29 of Numbers that God expects his people to have daily fellowship with him. He expects his people to walk with him daily, weekly, monthly, annually. He wants to be the focus of our life because he's more important than anything else in life. Anything. God is more significant than anything else in this world. And therefore, if we want the blessings of God, our primary ambition should be to please him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your precious word. We thank you for the year you've brought us through. You brought us through a great year filled with many blessings. There have been trials, but there have been some great blessings this year. Thank you for that. Lord, if you tarry and you permit us to continue on this journey through life, we pray that you would allow us to continue to blossom and develop. We would become more and more the kind of people who would be a soothing aroma to you. We've got rough edges, Lord. We admit that. We certainly need the Spirit's help in polishing those edges, and I pray you would this year. In Jesus' name, amen.